This is D'Lo Brown from the World Wrestling Federation. You better recognize you're listening to Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
We are live on Facebook. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for another great week. I'm the Cashman. Hold on a second. Let me go through my plugs here real quick. We are streaming on Facebook. So if you have a comment or a question, I'm going to start off right off the bat. If you have a comment or a question and you want to ask us, I'm reading the chats. So we will be able to see if you have what you want to ask about. And if you followed last week or the week before, you know that we've been able to read people's comments and questions on the chat. Buddy was out there as well. So, but we are now live and in color. Okay, no, we are just live. I'm watching it now. So, well, I'll let you folks know. Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donut Slight Empire at Culver. Welcome to the show for October 16th. Holidays today, just a couple. It's a Dictionary Day and the Sweetest Day. So if you got a honey, time to buy some chocolate, you know, for your honey. Birthdays today, we have a couple of wrestling birthdays before we get started. Lenny Lane is 51. Do you guys remember Lenny Lane?
Yeah, I do.
Rob probably doesn't. Lenny Lane, he was
Lenny and Lodi.
Lenny and Lodi, yeah. The first, first same-sex couple in pro wrestling, I believe. I think part of WCW. He's 51 today. Justin Credible, you know that name. He's 48. Kenny Omega, happy birthday to the AEW heavyweight champion. Kenny Omega is 38 today. And NXT UK Zaya Brookside is 22 today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's. I already mentioned that. Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Stone Slight, Empire Culver. Join Salvatore's at the garage door for UFC 267 the night before Halloween, October 30th. I'm guessing if you wear a costume, you probably might get something free. I'll confirm that as we get closer. Prelims start at 8 p.m. Pay-per-view starts at 10. As always, there's no cover charge. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate Roxy Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Roxy Roller Derby. Welcome to the show. I am your humble host, the Cash Man. I'm joined by my Danger Boy, who has been AWOL. I don't know how long. Danger, when's the last time we saw you?
The first week we streamed on Facebook.
Okay, and it works great now, by the way. And in fact, I'm watching it right now, and I'm seeing that we're even getting captioned, which I find is hilarious because I talk like I got a mouthful of marbles half the time.
So, I'm gonna say really big words that can be split up then, so they can
things get
the captions.
Things definitely get messed up. We are joined by Rob Sanderson.
Recording
as well.
In progress.
And ignore that lady; she's just recording this for us. But we're joined by Rob Sanderson. Rob, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. I'm tired. Good morning. It's rainy.
It's rainy.
But it's after a kind of boring week of wrestling midweek, it's nice to have a lot going on this weekend. So
it's good. You know, we've had a lot to do with wrestling in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, maybe boring is not too bad, you know, especially when hockey started this past week. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, by the way, Rob, I meant to tell you there is a Binghamton team this year. Did I tell you that already? The FPHL?
Yeah, I'm aware. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'll be doing something with them.
I think they'll have an ECHL team next year, but yeah.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but I mean, I do know ECHL, but not FPH, whatever it was. So nevertheless, hockey started. So that's why we did not get AEW Dynamite this week. We're going to get it tonight. be busy wrestling night this October Eve. It's raining out. There's nothing. You can't go out to these things outside when it's raining. I mean, you can, but you're just going to get, you know, soaking wet and the crap scared out of you. But, you know, beyond that, we want to talk about the world of pro wrestling. And we've got a few people that are joining us now. And like I said, if you leave a comment, we'll answer and pass it around, figure out, we'll discuss. We got a lot of people watching right now. Hey, Rennie Hale's joining us, of course, longtime fan of the show, and a bunch of people. Thank you, William Owens, all you guys coming online. Jeff Halawaka, I hope I got that right, buddy. I feel like Miss Rita on Romper Room right now. No, I should stop it. But we're going to talk.
You're aging yourself with that.
Yeah, now you're mentioning things that I have no idea.
Well, look, I'm in the atmosphere. If you can't tell, I'm flying in the
atmosphere. Was that in black and white, that show? Or?
It may have been. It may have started that way at one point. But, yes, I am aging myself. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. And the first thing we all want to talk to, and we kind of hinted at it a little bit last week. We didn't get into it too much. But we had AEW Rampage last night and WWE SmackDown, and there was a WWE. I'll read you this little. This is how the week went for them. WWE decided to extend SmackDown by half an hour to mess with AEW. So what they did is they decided to go eight, and they're on FS1 last night. So it wasn't like they were going to have a big viewing audience, anyways. So they went to 10:30. So Tony Khan added a pre-show for Rampage on YouTube during SmackDown, which he put out. He put some great matches on the YouTube channel. WWE makes the last half hour commercial free after that. So AEW makes Rampage opener commercial free too. Competition in action, folks. That's all we can say, and we all benefit from it last night. What did you guys think? A little head-to-head. This is the first time it's happened. I mean, we haven't seen wrestling head-to-head since that tumultuous night, Monday night, in which TNA thought that they could go head-to-head with Monday Night Raw. That was the last time I think we really had head-to-head wrestling, live wrestling as well. I'll give my opinion first, and then we'll jump to you guys. I just thought that, we had CM Punk. It was a good match, solid match, but it wasn't like marquee names, And on SmackDown at the time, we got Roman Reigns. We got the Sasha Banks taking on Becky Lynch, which was pretty incredible. And then we had a press conference at the end in which Brock Lesnar was out with Roman Reigns. And I think you have to sign a contract when you take each other on all the time. And then Brock Lesnar kind of tipped the scale towards him a little bit by mentioning that his advocate had read it, mentioning Paul Heyman by name, and that's how the show ended. Then we had so we were over on Rampage. First 20 minutes was CM Punk versus what was his name? I'm sorry, I apologize.
Matt Sydal.
Yeah, what was he called in WWE?
Evan Bourne.
That's what I was thinking. I didn't want to give his WWE name, but we just did. But and then the next 10 minutes was Ruby Riott taking on the Bunny, and I didn't, not marquee names a lot on AEW, but head to head wrestling. They're going to investigate these numbers intensely to see what happened during that period. But Rob, what'd you think? How do you feel about how those head to heads went?
Head to head is exciting. I it was weird, like after all the back and forth of you're doing this, so I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to match this, like back and forth between Tony Khan and Nick Khan or WWE. Tony said multiple times this week that he wants wrestling fans to be able to watch all wrestling that they want to. So he doesn't necessarily want to see that kind of competition head to head too much. I think it's exciting, but it's also, I don't know, like for me, I know there was some good stuff on SmackDown, and I've seen less than 5 minutes of last night's SmackDown at this point. You can't watch two at once. Like, I mean, it was on SmackDown was on a tablet in the living room last night, but I mean, it's not. I don't want to see this happen too often. The nice part about it is that both companies really tried to do whatever they could to beat the other. So that's what you always talk about, a win-win with competition, because they're trying to put out the best product possible. That being said, I think the best part of the night last night was on YouTube with Minoru Suzuki and Bryan Danielson. And that was only seen by about 100,000 people live. because it was on YouTube. So I don't know. And AEW was very optimistic about how this would go. Let's be honest, if they're not going against a SmackDown on FS1, then it's not going to happen.
True.
You know, it's a big difference with that, but the product was good. I guess I watched AEW last night from start to finish from YouTube and then TNT, and I felt like there was some really good stuff last night, but it kind of progressively got worse as the night went on. Then I did see the clip of Roman and Brock and Paul Heyman, which I'm not big on contract signings, but I thought that was a perfect little quick segment. Like, I like how different that was, and I like where they're going with that.
Did you
I just think it sucks that the Blood Money pay-per-view is the one that's getting all these really good matches.
So did you see how that they threw the table up there and they were hurrying to get everything because there was going to be no commercial break, they said, at that point. So they hurried to get the tables and the chairs up there. And I do want to strike one comment I said. We did have head-to-head for a long, long time. It was NXT versus AEW. And I don't think NXT has ever been on a level playing field when it comes to any other show it's up against. Maybe it is a little bit more now, but then it wasn't. But now we were getting, you know, A show versus, you know, B show. Actually, it's B show. Well, at one time SmackDown was B, so it would have been B versus B show. But Danger, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I remember fondly the days of switching channels back when everyone actually had cable systems, and here in Rochester, the channels were next to each other. But like Rob said, it's a lot more difficult now because there's a lot of people that stream this stuff. And for me to go, and I've got Hulu Live, and for me to go to TNT and FX1, I've got to flip a bunch of channels. And it's not worth my time most of the time. So I'll DVR stuff and all that kind of fun stuff. I really don't think we're in a position where competition like that should happen very often. And again, like Rob said, if this isn't on FX1, this isn't an issue. This isn't a thing. If this is on Fox, it's not competition. It's a slaughter because Fox is on so many more systems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they get the audience there. But it's nice to see. I like to see them putting out things that people want to see. You got Sasha and Becky, which was a great match. You got Brock Lesnar coming out doing, and the way they're doing the Brock Lesnar stuff lately is great. And it's that storyline is pretty good. And Brock's a known needle mover. He actually, people watch to see Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he sells seats. Yeah, he puts asses in seats, as Tony Schiavone would say.
Yes. As much as I like the fact that Minoru Suzuki and Daniel Bryan had that match, and I like that match being like a competition type thing on YouTube, I wish it was on a pay-per-view. That's just for me personally. I just want to see them build up to that, not just announce it a week ahead of time. But to see Daniel Bryan's face during that whole match and see him fighting back a smile the whole time because it's what he wanted was fun. It's just fun to be a wrestling fan right now. That's all it leads to. And if they're going to go back and forth each other, Tony Khan earlier this week said that Rampage was going to kill SmackDown, was going to beat them. I don't think that's going to happen when the numbers come out, but it's, you know, you got to have confidence in your product. So I like the competition. I like that it betters everybody. And it apparently means that we don't ever have to see commercials. So
they're not necessary.
I don't need to see myself buying a Shaq-a-roni pizza.
You know, the funny thing,
happy that pizza does not exist in Rochester.
They never have to do commercials on, you know, the Peacock network or anything else on pay-per-view, but they still do them anyways, but they promise us free stuff without any commercials. Yeah.
Well, quick side comment. I just want to throw in there. We mentioned like when WWE Network was transitioning over to Peacock, like, oh, this took a while to get used to, and they got to keep working on stuff. I just want to say, I know I'm not the only one like this. When I had nothing to watch before, or I wanted to put something on in the background while I'm working or whatever, I would often find something on WWE Network and put it on. Not necessarily daily, but pretty often. I can't tell you the last time I personally opened the Peacock app. It sucks. It's not gotten any better. It's a pain to try to find stuff on there. And I just think that was a terrible move because I know a lot of people are like me that like just don't use it at all anymore. It's just not worth it. I'll find something else to watch that's easier to get to and search or whatever.
I will mention one thing, that this is the first week that I actually found something I wanted to watch on the Peacock Network. I haven't watched it yet, but Halloween Kills is on there, I hear. And I might take a peek at that later today, just because it's, I think it's available, unless I have to pay extra. If I have to pay extra, I'll rather go see it in the movie theater. But
the Peacock Network, honestly, if I'm opening it up to watch anything, I have The Office on in the background. That's pretty much, I had the Peacock Network for The Office because I had Netflix for The Office.
Yeah.
And I don't even go through the WWE stuff unless there's something live I'm watching.
Yeah. So anybody in the chat room have any comments about what this had to had last night? I mean, it was kind of a big deal because, you know, I mean, we got CM Punk and it was an 18-minute long match to start the show head to head with what was going on with Becky and Sasha. And
can I just really quick?
Yeah.
CM Punk should, I understand why they did it. And I understand everyone wants to have a good match and get their stuff in and make everybody look good. At this point in time, CM Punk shouldn't be going 18 minutes with Matt Sydal in AEW.
No.
Matt's not at that level.
No.
I mean, I thought the match was good. That doesn't surprise me too much because it seems like everybody gets time unless it's like a Jade Cargill squash. So my thing is this is more of an indie comment than a national or international company comment. I'm so sick of the handshakes after matches every time. Like Punk and Sydal, okay, fine. But can we not have another one for a long time? Like, it's just not, it's not what I care about. For me, like, I enjoyed Rampage more last night just because it was live. It has a different feel. I will continue to campaign that. Since they started Rampage, like, my interest in it has gone down a little bit each week because most of the time it's taped. And I can't get as into it. And I do my best to avoid the spoilers and all of that. But it's not, it seems like they're trying to build Punk as the Rampage guy. So it was nice to get to see him wrestle a live match last night, but I don't know where, like the show has a nice feel when it's just an hour, but, and it's definitely different to feel like the most important match is on first. And then they get to the, it's time for the main event, but it's not really the main event. The main event was whatever the first match of the night was.
Sure.
but just to, I mean, I'm surprised I've waited this long to say this. And everybody knows I'm going to say it. I'm so sick of this MMA crossover crap. I don't care. The Junior Dos Santos and his worked punches and all, it's garbage. Enough of this stuff. Like, it's not interesting. It doesn't look real. The knee to the face of Jericho from the other guy, whoever.
Jorge Masvidal.
It sucked.
Yeah.
And the camera angle was terrible. And they put the same camera angle in all of the highlight clips on Twitter and everything. Like, enough of this. And I know that there are some people that like it, but there are plenty of other people that are like me that can't stand it. And the problem to me is when you bring in these UFC or MMA people into wrestling. The fact is a lot of pro wrestlers do have some kind of MMA training or background or like a single martial art background or whatever. But you bring these people in and you make them seem like they're so much tougher and badder and more dangerous and whatever than pro wrestlers. You're just devaluing pro wrestling when you do that. They should not come in and automatically be like, oh, this guy's going to be able to punch five times harder than any of our pro wrestlers. You get that mentality and it just devalues your own crap. I'm so over this American Top Team stuff. I loved getting to see the brief interactions in the ring with Sammy Guevara and Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. The rest of it, I'm done with.
You're not a big fan of Dan
Lambert.
I know
we're going to have to watch them wrestle at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I don't want that, but please go away after that.
Well, Dan Lambert, he did stuff with Impact Wrestling. I don't know if you remember a few years ago.
And it sucked. I hated that stuff too.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I hated it. But
Dan Lambert's the best promo they have going.
Yeah,
right now.
He cut a great.
And Brock Lesnar is great, but he's not great because of his UFC stuff. Like, he was a pro wrestler before all of that.
Rennie's
like,
saying, preach, Rob, preach. Preach, Rob, preach. There's a lot. MMA, you know, I mean, listen, Junior Dos Santos, I watched that match last night, and in the first 10 minutes of the match, I think people didn't want to be in the ring with him because he, I don't think he knows how to do a worked punch, you know? And the worst thing is when he makes it look real, he probably really is hitting somebody.
Right.
But in
he's
the end,
completely missing or he's hitting too hard.
Yeah. And the thing, another thing too, is he actually went through that table in the end too. And I don't think he sold it as well as he was supposed to because Jake Hager was on the ground like he had died. And then, you know, you saw Dos Santos kind of start to move around a little bit, which they probably didn't want. They wanted both of them to be like dead there, but don't.
I was okay with the table spot. My issue with that, which I guess this is something that I would pick out more than most people, but you could hear the crowd like in that same 20 seconds or so, the crowd reacted to something huge that we never got to see on TV.
Yeah.
We never even got a replay. There was some kind of dive or something that the crowd went nuts for, even rewound it. And then like they go to replays like 30 seconds later, but it's the stuff we already saw on the screen. We never even get to see whatever happened. That's not good production.
Well, I will say one thing is all of a sudden the ring bell table is all of a sudden launched on the other is on the other side of where the ring bell was the whole night, and the table's empty, and it's like, well, you know, it just happened to be there that, you know, there would happen to be a table, but I thought that was kind of silly. But I did think that, you know, I had a weird feel last night for the show just because it was a smaller arena and it was lit a little bit differently than they've been doing. And I there was no room around the ringside. People were standing like it's like a Ring of Honor show. Whenever you watch Ring of Honor, like these live shows on TV, people stand continuously on ringside. So it looks like there was no room for the guys to work around the outside of the ring at all. Which, you know, I know it was a smaller venue. I saw the amount of tickets that they could sell for it, and it was a much, and same for tonight too as well. It'll be a small, and so it's had a different. Well,
luckily, they'll have a little bit of a bigger crowd tonight than they had last night. But yeah, it's, I mean, that's the same venue that they ran as their first show back on the road in July, which is not an arena really. It's like, it looks like a giant auditorium, which is fine. But I think it's way too soon to be going back to Miami at this point. I think they've completely, they completely burned out the Florida market. And honestly, the only reason they're running that in Orlando next week, whenever, is because of this whole Jericho cruise to like make it convenient for that stuff. But I just think they gotta, please don't go back to Miami again for a while after this. Like, the crowd that was there was pretty loud at times, but I mean, that's a really small venue, and they still had a lot of seats that were not sold last night.
Danger.
And they had a pretty good card to try to sell tickets on.
Definitely.
So
definitely.
That show, that card would have sold very well in a different market.
Chicago.
Well, anywhere.
No, I'm sick of that one too.
Yeah.
Miami's historically not a great wrestling market because there's so much to do in Miami. It's just, even back in the days of the territories, it wasn't a huge draw. So,
but Danger, what did you think about this? Did you get a feel there's a different view kind of when we were watching it? Was it lit differently? I know it was obviously a smaller venue.
I think it's just the venue and what they were working with. Maybe some lighting because they didn't sell all their tickets and there were some issues with that. And to comment on the MMA stuff, I don't mind MMA fighters being there. I don't want to – like, your draw out of American Top Team right now is going to be Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah.
Junior Dos Santos is a name from 5-6 years ago when he was doing anything. And if you're going to get these guys in the ring, at least give them some kind of training so they know what, so it looks like they know what they're doing, so they can work a fight instead of having to have a real one.
Yeah, that's the thing that was scaring me, is it seemed like there was a lot of some stiff stuff going on because, you know, and I'm sure that they worked on everything before it happened, but Junior started out. That's why I kind of, when we were doing, I was doing group text last night, I texted out that nobody wanted to be in a ring with him because when you watch it, he was like, he was definitely hitting some stiff shots on people or missing him completely.
He definitely hit Jericho a couple times pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like Jericho was not happy about it.
No, he definitely was not happy because he got up angry. You could see it. He got up fast. Yeah, yeah, it's like
Jericho's face is puffy enough as it is now. He doesn't need help with that.
Hey, listen, Jericho, like for you know, the shape he's in now, and I love Jericho. He and I have a similar shape, so I kind of, you know, but he still did the lion salt. He can do everything still, you know. And in fact, I thought he was too far away from when he was doing the lion salt at one point. It's like, oh, he's going to kill him with his stomach, you know, but he made it over.
Here's the other thing just to bring up with this. Like, the obviously we went on this whole, like, the Inner Circle was a huge deal. They won the main event at Double or Nothing. And then it just became the Jericho MJF show, and the rest of the guys are forgotten about.
Sure.
Sammy wins the TNT title, which Justin Roberts should be mentioning when he's introducing him last night. But then we get into this like 3-on-3 match, and then wait and wait. And it's not until the very end that Santana and Ortiz come out. Like, is that supposed to be a surprise that they're back together again when they weren't really apart for any reason or anything? It's just, that made no sense to me, that like from a storyline aspect, why are you waiting so long for these guys to come out there when there's already all of these American top team people out there? And then it, like, I was sitting there watching them, like, all right, we still have 4 minutes. We have 3 minutes. Like, is there going to be some kind of debut or something? And then it's like, oh, it's Santana and Ortiz. Well, this doesn't, I don't know. Like, I guess maybe some people would pop for that, but like my expectation was that they would just be out there like midway through the match at the latest.
Well,
their boys getting like
maybe
with all the interference and stuff.
Maybe that had to do with the ringside issues, because there really was no room ringside anywhere around that ring. There was like, I mean, it was like, that's one thing that kind of struck me was how, you know, WWE, how they have so much room around the ring that they, you know, in their set, quote unquote. And this one was, everything was really tight. You couldn't work into the crowd. You couldn't even get close to the crowd because there wasn't that much room outside the ring. So it was just a different, I think that had a lot to do with the way, and I did know, you know, I mean, they were out when Sammy won the title 2 weeks ago in Rochester, you know, I mean, those guys were out like you know, in a flash. But yeah, I was wondering.
They acted like it was a big deal, and I was just like, "This, they're in the inner circle together, right? Yeah. Like, so what's the?"
Yeah, exactly. Okay. They could have been standing on the stage the whole time.
What the hell were they doing during the whole match? Yeah. Like when Paige Van Zant or whatever is up on the apron and everything, and Jorge comes in with his knee that hits 6 feet the other direction and stuff. Like, yeah,
he does that. He does that.
Catering, like
he does that. Daniel Bryan running knee across the, you know, the guy's got to be in the center of the ring pretty much to do it. You know, you make a good point. Well, you know, the whole, remember MJF's group, that whole group that they spent so much time developing and bringing out, and then, you know, they just kind of dissolved.
Well, but that's the exact same thing. Like they haven't. Like, there's still like a loose affiliation, but like we spent so much time hearing about the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle, and like now it's like, oh, they kind of still exist, but not really. But man, like, what?
Well, you know, remember last week we talked about how with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk showed up, the women's division disappeared off of TV. I mean, not completely, but I mean, not nearly as what it used to be. And maybe that has something to do with everything, you know, with the Pinnacle and everything. When these guys now have to get segments on TV, you know, I mean, you see in the posters for where they're selling, do you see anybody, any original members of AEW in the posters for when they're selling like Chicago or San Francisco or any of these places? So they got
to
get,
they've got to be careful with that. Yeah. I think like it's already a little bit weird to see other people kind of pushed to the background. And obviously like none of those four newcomers have lost a match really yet. Well, I guess Ruby kind of did, but like it's just not, especially if they keep adding people. Like, we know there's more rumors of more people on the way and stuff, but with the amount of TV time you have, you got to make your existing people still be relevant.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
I don't think we need CM Punk wrestling more than twice a month. We don't need Bryan Danielson wrestling more than twice. Like, these people don't need to be on every single week. Everybody else is being rotated. It's okay. Like, give us Adam Cole 1 week on Dynamite, and then the next week, give us a Danielson match, whatever. But they've really loaded some of these shows with everybody. And then it's like, okay, this is not the AEW that I'm used to. This is just the guys that were able to escape WWE or whatever.
Put them on Dark, you know, they'll help bolster those shows. If they want to wrestle every, you know, Daniel Bryan probably wants to wrestle every show he can possibly get on, you know, cause the guy loves wrestling. He loves.
And I love watching him wrestle. Like, yeah. Especially like I loved watching him wrestle before WWE. I enjoyed a lot of his WWE stuff, but it is truly refreshing to see him like watching his matches. Now watching his match last night does not feel like watching him in the WWE. It feels like we've got the authentic American Dragon back.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
And there's so many more possibilities. And last week we got Punk and Garcia. Like, there's a lot of intriguing stuff out there. I just don't want those four people or so to be the only focus of what's going on. And like we talked about last week, a big part of that and a big thing they have to nail home tonight is Hangman Adam Page. Like, we know he's going to talk tonight. They've got to get that going as the most important thing in AEW for the next few weeks. That is crucial to me because it's been so overshadowed. I mean, even last night, did we even get any mention of the Elite or nope. Hangman or like anything?
No.
There's the 2 hours.
We got. Yeah, I didn't see the YouTube. Unfortunately, I was out, but I did catch it once it went live. And but yeah, not one mention on network TV, that's for sure. And they only had three matches. I mean, but they let Punk go along with his, obviously, no commercials, whatnot. But yeah, no, we can't let the women's division disappear too. You know, I mean, I'm scared. You know, because it's really Britt. I thought maybe Britt was hurt or something. You know, I mean, I don't even care if she comes out and just badmouths somebody and goes back. But she, I mean, when not showing up at all is not. I don't think you know. I mean. We didn't see her in
totally
Rochester.
Agree. She does not need to have that many matches, but she needs to be a lot more visible than she's been in recent weeks. I like that they had the better of the two women's matches last night, I think, was on the buy-in with Ty Conti and Santana Garrett. I'm more and more of a fan of Ty every week. Like, she is a believable wrestler who can really go. I just think I don't want AEW to fall in the mold of like, here's your one token women's match per week. Like, it's got to be more of a focus of the show. There's got to be more than one segment per 2 hour episode, whatever the case is. Like, WWE has evolved so much in that in the recent years. And, you know, there's still, I think out there, there's still like, you go to a lot of indie shows and it's like, okay, here's the one women's match you might get or whatever. But especially with them now introducing another championship. We talked about this before, like the TBS tournament, we find out like the bracket next week, they've got to start finding a way to get them worked in more. Cause yeah. Where has Britt Baker been? Like there was like two little backstage quick interviews in the last month or something. I mean, there's nothing going on there.
And the way WWE used to do it when someone couldn't be at the shows and stuff is they would tape everything in advance and then just play it, you know, as backstage segments later times. And they're not even giving her that. I mean, they did. I just mentioned a second ago that we didn't see her in Rochester. We didn't see her in front of the crowd. She was there. We just didn't, you know, she did a backstage quick segment and everything, but yeah, I have a feeling that this, you know, just to go back a little bit, talking about the MMA guys, Dan Lambert's and those guys, I think for a while this was going to happen even before Punk and Daniel Bryan were coming. So they're still committed to doing this, what they're doing with it. You know, some of these guys.
Do you think this goes past the pay-per-view?
I do. I think Junior Dos Santos, I think they're trying to set up something with him and Jack Swagger or Hager. Sorry. Yeah. Jack Hager. And I mean, they may be further, maybe something down a month or two, but
if you have a pay-per-view match and then maybe after that, then those guys can disappear for a while and he can get some more training and then I don't want it, but he can come back at that point.
He's like, the one guy that
where we don't need him. Like, I understand, like, everybody praises Dan Lambert so much. And like, yeah, he's really good on the microphone, yes. But that's not enough for me to care. Like, Britt Baker's really good on the microphone. We were just talking about, there's a lot of people that can do that. Like, I don't need that every week.
I'll give him credit last night because the crowd was loud the whole time he was talking and he didn't lose a spot when he was going. You know, I mean, he definitely continued to put out what he was going to say, but the crowd was really loud. So it was almost interfering watching it on TV because he's cutting a promo while the crowd is screaming at him. So
I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with me on this. I don't know if he is actually helping Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page.
I wonder that
those
too.
Two are fantastic wrestlers. They're both very good talkers. They don't need a mouthpiece. And I want to see them all over AEW stuff. And I just don't, like, now I feel like they're going to be overshadowed within their own little stable. But it's just kind of weird that like they are with a bunch of MMA people and stuff. Like I just don't get it. And I hope that this doesn't hurt them overall in the end.
I think that I think the MMA thing was going to happen. I think those guys lucked out maybe as getting to be a part of it instead of being, you know, delegated to the dark shows. you know, because they are getting out there. I mean, listen, Ethan Page looks wonderful. I mean, he definitely, I think, is getting over out there, you know, and Scorpio Sky, we all knew what he could do years ago. So it's just that, yeah, it's got to come down just to those two and none of these other guys involved, you know, so that we can, you know, because Danger, what you thought, I know you told us a minute ago what you thought about the MMA thing, but there's benefits to it, I'm thinking. And the one benefit, well go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there's definitely benefits because for 90% of the AEW roster, the average person will know who Jorge Masvidal is over them. For 90% of the people, other than your Bryan Danielson, your CM Punks, Jorge Masvidal is a bigger name.
Yeah.
The issue is that these guys they're just bringing him out and they're not fully trained. Masvidal is not going to become a wrestler right now. Masvidal is still in his fighting.
The only one it can be is Junior Dos Santos, is because he's lost.
Dos Santos and Paige Van Zandt.
Yeah, and Paige Van Zandt is super hot, and you know, and yes.
And if she starts getting trained at the Nightmare Factory behind the scenes or something, and continues in wrestling, I have no issue with it. It's better for her than her in MMA right now. But it's the issue. There's good to it and there's bad to it, and the bad to it is that these guys don't know how to work. Like Rob said, you bring them out and you make them seem tougher than the wrestlers. Well, that may be very true. And while the average person might think that, you don't want to portray that. Eventually, you have to have the wrestlers going over, which is what's going to happen. Eventually, the wrestlers are going to get over on them. But you have to get to that point quicker. And I don't want to see this go past the pay-per-view.
Okay. Well, you know, yeah, and it may not. I mean, how long did Dan Lambert's last in Impact when they were doing it? He was there a good, like, 6 months, I think.
He didn't have this type of names when he was there either. I mean, he had Colby Covington, but he wasn't a name yet.
Yeah, it's true.
My thing, I guess, is like I see both sides of it because obviously, like, AEW is getting mentioned on ESPN.com and stuff like that this week, and you're still a young company and you want to get that exposure. I totally see that side of it. My question is, like, are there people who like MMA who do not normally watch pro wrestling that are actually tuning in for this stuff?
Probably not.
And I don't really know the answer to that, but of the people that I know, no, they're not. It's either they're MMA fans that still are like, why are these guys doing pro wrestling? I'm not watching that. Or it's somebody who already watches wrestling anyway, so they're not gaining viewers with that.
Yeah, you might get a couple of curiosity clicks, but if they see terrible worked punches or something like that, they're going to just dismiss it. If they're just MMA fans, they're going to dismiss it anyways.
Well, you remember the last time WWE dabbled with what's-his-face in that heavyweight spot, and he's coming back, apparently, in the world of pro.
Is it Fury or whatever?
No, what was his name?
The one who knocked out Brock.
Yeah.
Can't I think of his name?
That's okay. Maybe someone in the message board can let us know, because I am reading your people that are there. And if you guys have any comments or questions, you can always ask while we're talking. I see there's a handful of people in there right now. So, yeah, no, but WWE tried it. They're going to try it again. But most of the time when they try to transition somebody, Kane Velasquez. Thank you. Thank you, Ira. Kane is a guy who is transitioning into wrestling, and I think same for Junior Dos Santos. He wants to become a wrestler. Maybe this is an avenue for them. But, yeah, everybody else is like, Jorge Masvidal is still a huge star, gets big paychecks from UFC for fighting in there, and Lambert's is in his corner all the time. And these guys, but Lambert's can cut a promo. Someone, you know, everyone is always remarking on his, you know, what he's saying, and I think it's just mean and funny, but it's stupid, and it's, you know, maybe it'll be done soon, but yeah, how good are they doing for the two guys that are with them that are the actual wrestlers? I think more people are booing Dan Lambert's, and who cares who the wrestlers are with them? You know, I agree. I don't know if it's as good for the, you know, for Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky there as you know, I mean, yes, they're always out with them, but you know, and they got to, and we got a good match last.
But they
night.
get like a sentence or two in after Lambert does all the talking. I don't know. For the main focus is right now to be all these new people and then America Top Team and stuff. Like, I want the focus spread out more evenly across other things going on. And I don't like that. I think it was Jericho was already teasing, like, after last night, like, oh, we're gonna respond tonight on Dynamite. No, like, how many, like, what percentage of the roster was not seen at all last night?
Oh, yeah, you're like, right. There's three matches.
I don't want it. And it's the same thing, too. Honestly, like, I really like Danielson, and I really like Bobby Fish and these guys and stuff, but you also have other repeating names from last night to tonight. What percentage is this roster? Are we not going to see it all over like 4 hours of AEW TV in a 2-night span? Because we're focusing only on these couple things that are going on that had nothing to do with AEW a month or two ago.
It's funny is you mentioned that. Remember the first year of AEW and all the people that they introduced us to that are still with the company, but we're not seeing them, you know? Like a lot of the women's division, you know, Riho and a bunch of the, you know, the women's competitors who pretty much disappeared. You know, I think that, you know, I think it's either they need more TV time or maybe they're developed. You know, I've heard rumors that they're going to create a AEW network, kind of like the other company did, you know, and have like a lot of their stuff archived on it, because they have a lot of stuff, you know, with all the dark shows and everything. But more and more, I get a feeling that Rampage is going to be a 2-hour show eventually. And it's, you know, it's going to be the CM Punk show compared to whoever is the main star on Dynamite. I don't know if that's the greatest thing in the world to do myself, but they're going through growing pains right now. And it's like, there's some stuff that
because they're growing too much.
Yeah. It's
you like, I don't, if you want to make Rampage 2 hours at some point, I understand. I don't really want that. But fine. I don't want to see more on top of that. And so unfortunately that goes back to, you already have way too many people to be able to showcase them through your actual TV shows. And you're just adding and adding and adding. And then you're giving Jericho and American Top Team and certain people all of these segments and stuff. And you're not spreading it out more through everything else. Like, that means you either got to stop adding people or you got to let some people not be renewed on their contracts or something, because there are way too many people that are just sitting in the back and they build people up. They build the Lance Archers and the Sammy Guevaras and the Scorpio Skies and Brian Cage and all these people up over time, and then they forget about them.
Yeah. Oh no.
And like, that's one of the biggest problems WWE has had with like their world champions in the last decade. They build people up and then they just drop back to the mid card or are forgotten about for a while. Oh, and that I think is a recipe for disaster in wrestling. You've got to keep, once you build somebody up, you need to find a way to keep them relevant. And that's starting to fall through the cracks a little bit more in AEW than I think we saw in the beginning.
I agree. And I think it was, they had a very small roster in the beginning compared to what we've got now. And it's every time we see someone is All Elite, you know, the thing pop up, then we know that they've signed another person. You know, and believe it or not, I just saw someone who re-signed, I think it was Aubrey Edwards this past week, re-signed. So obviously we're getting to a point where they're getting to the end of these 2-year, 3-year contracts and they're re-signing people. And maybe we'll see some people who like say, you know, I want to take a chance someplace else. You know, I mean, there are people who got built up and got a lot of TV time and then now are just sitting, you know, in catering, you know, unfortunately. It's same story with WWE, same exact thing. That's why a lot of these guys came here, is because stuff like that was going on. You know, it's a good problem, I guess, for the business of pro wrestling, because there's all these little companies like, and I shouldn't say little, but like MLW and Impact, where people can go refine their characters, refine their skills and keep, you know, working. And then, you know, eventually, you know, WWE will say, well, they built them up for a year on TV and now we don't see them on TV at all. You know, like Cage is a perfect example. When are we going to see that guy again? You know?
Well, what happens now, like, even, I mean, there's so many people that they could continue to add or look at, but like, let's just say that, I don't know, 3 months from now, hypothetically, you have your entire current AEW roster plus maybe Bray Wyatt and maybe Kevin Steen, whatever. Yeah. Like, what? That's only two people. Two people is not that many in a grand scheme of things, but imagine trying to fit them in time wise to what's going on and to fit them into important storylines, angles, matches, whatever, with everybody that they've got right now. Like, that alone seems like it's way too much to try to figure out. And I'd like to see those guys there. Honestly, like, for me, I'd rather see Kevin end up there, like from a match perspective. And You know, I think Bray can do some fun stuff there too, but you only have so much time to work with. And, and that's the different part too, is AEW. I'm not criticizing this at all. I like that they give their talent time to wrestle matches, but that's a big deal when you like, it's easier to squeeze in all of your people every week or more often when you're doing dumb 3-minute matches and stuff, but AEW doesn't really do that. So that's why a lot of these people just get completely forgotten about.
You're right. No, you're right. And the wrestling is the important part of what AEW does, not WWE. On the other hand, when we had the women's, you know, crown going with 2-minute matches in the first round of it and everything, we got a little bit longer ones last night, so I will give them that. And then obviously we're coming down to the finals of that. I do want, you know what, I got more AEW stuff to talk about, but we do have to talk about WWE stuff. I want to squeeze it in at least before we've put an hour into the show yet. But I want to say that we've got the Crown Jewel coming up this Thursday. And, Crown, you know, yes, Blood Money Crown Jewel, whatever we want to call it. You know, I mean, nobody's told me to stop saying that yet, or they're going to sue me. So if I'm going to keep saying it.
Well, they're not saying where it comes from, so.
Yeah, that's true. They're not, you know what, even when the day comes.
Just don't let the blood money people hear you.
Yeah, I don't need to, yeah. But nevertheless, we got that coming up this week, which.
Don't take a journalistic trip over Saudi Arabia.
I'm not a journalist. I'm pretty set.
Yeah, well, you know, we do this show. It's closest thing to journalism as possible. Every once in a while, we'll get an interview on here, like QT Marshall a few weeks ago and stuff. But, you know, but I was going to say, this is going on. This is basically a pay-per-view style setup for what they're doing. The Crown Jewel is going to take place this Thursday, October 21st. I think it's noon. The coverage starts at, and the action starts at 1. And the reason that is because they're over in the other side of the world, and they're doing it live. So, and they're getting paid very well for it, but we're getting a primo matchup in the main event, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. And this is, and if you guys have any comments, or, you know, you can send a comment while you're watching us. I see all the names of people who are watching. You can definitely mention if you have any questions or comments, but got the main event of Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. I think we're going to get an old school manager turn in this match, which is the only, you know, really, maybe watching the last 5 minutes of this pay-per-view would be what I want to see, where it happens. You know, Heyman, you know.
I think you're going to get the opposite, and that's me saying that as somebody who admittedly has watched like single digits amount of minutes of WWE programming recently. But to me, that's how you, like, putting the belt on Brock would be a mistake, because it is not time for Roman to lose yet. You don't have to think of any other reasons. Like, for me, like, Roman should still keep that for a while. In that circumstance, they're built up perfectly for this to be a swerve where, like, they're teasing that Lesnar's gonna be helped by Heyman, but you know, totally see it as Heyman helping Roman.
Yeah, and
beat Brock.
If that happens, then it makes Brock super face. Which
and it helps Roman as a heel, and it keeps the belt on Roman, and it explains a little better why Brock Lesnar can lose a match and stuff. Like, I think it's set up perfectly for that. And then Brock can kind of maybe disappear again for a bit, and Roman can move on to whatever his next thing's going to be. We talked about last week, like, who knows where that's going to go, knowing WWE, it's definitely a possibility, because they've done it so many times before. But I think taking the belt off of Roman this week would be the biggest mistake they could make.
Got a message from Tom, who's following along. He said Peacock freezes or skips way too much to bother with. Yeah,
it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's $5 a month or whatever. So it's half of what we were paying, or you can get it for free with commercials, I think. But there's half of what we paid for.
I'm not the one in the house that's subscribed to it, and I still don't. I don't care. I don't open it up.
So we get not only that. I mean, I think we're going to get Brock as a super face, and this could lead to Brock as a super face maybe at WrestleMania. You know, because I mean, it's not never too early to start, you know, teasing, especially since WWE canceled their December pay-per-view, which was supposed to be TLC. So all we've got is one pay-per-view till the end of the year. And then we have one
the first day of the new year,
New Year's Day, which, of course, I have a feeling the Usos are going to have something to do with day one. That's, I think, is what it's called, you know, which they had the t-shirts for the longest. It's called day one. So, and it is day one of the next year, but, But yeah, so I think they're going to have to start a little bit early with the WrestleMania buildup. And you know what? Maybe Brock Lesnar does lose clean to Roman Reigns, or maybe Heyman has something to do with it. I think Heyman will. But it also could be the ever classic manager goes from one corner during the match all the way around to the other side of the ring to the other corner. And that happens slowly but surely during the match. We'll see what happens. You know, that's the only intrigue really coming out of this. I don't care much for anything else. Got triple threat. Becky Lynch loses last night to Sasha Banks cleanly in the ring. As clean, I guess, as it can possibly be. And then because of Bianca Belair being outside. And now they're in a three-way for the women's match. I'm not on Becky's train. I usually like heels, but I'm just, you know, they just kind of inserted her in heavily into everything. And, you know, I mean, I felt they spent so much time building up Bianca Belair to have her lose in, 18 seconds or whatever in the match that we saw back at SummerSlam.
It's like what we were just talking about. Like you just mentioned, it's Becky and Sasha and Bianca and like all of these other situations in wrestling right now. Like, yes, Becky and Sasha are two of your four or five biggest women stars of the past 5-6 years or more, but they come back and they immediately take over the division and overshadow everybody else.
Yeah.
They built up Bianca and now she's not as relevant as she was 6 months ago. All of these other people that were a lot more relevant aren't right now. And then they're doing the Queen's Crown thing that, again, I just think is a joke of a tournament, the same way the King of the Ring sucks right now too, because it's not at all what it used to be.
No, true. And speaking of,
well, I think you're missing on this Bianca thing. I think once they start the new divisions next week, Bianca and Becky Lynch is going to headline Raw, and Bianca's going to eventually get over Becky. I think it's just a temporary focus change for this blood money pay-per-view. Yeah.
True. Well, then that's not the only match that's going on. I mean, because we got every champion, I think it looks like they're defending their belts. We got Drew McIntyre and Big E, and maybe this is Big E's first legitimate, I'm not saying legitimate, but I mean, first real competitor, someone to come after him for his title. He won the title and they just kind of still, he didn't become a huge part of the TV show, even though he's the champion. The New Day and Big E are super over and everything, but I still don't, you know, he's not getting like what Bobby Lashley was getting as the champion, you know, multiple segments starting the show. But I think if Drew McIntyre loses and Bob Big E, we'll see what happens with that. I'm kind of interested in see what happens there. We got Raw tag team match as well with AJ Styles and almost versus Randy.
Why is AJ Styles, who has been one of the best pro wrestlers of all time, and especially the last 20 years, why is he still in the tag division?
Yeah,
I don't think AJ's probably not going to wrestle for too many more years at this point. And I think having him in the tag team division has been a gigantic waste of time.
Oh yeah. I mean, he was champ for years in SmackDown as well as Raw. And it's like, and now they just wrote him out of the main event. You know, Bobby Lashley did that. You know, when they put it on him, they just, obviously they wanted the more athletic, bigger guy. And, it's a shame. You know, I mean, I'm sure maybe AJ's in the back of his head is thinking, why did I re-sign with this company? I probably would be in the Daniel Bryan's position over at the other one if I was free. And I mean, and we could actually wrestle some exciting matches. He still is one of the most exciting wrestlers to watch in WWE. Always does something in a match that just blows your mind, you know. But yeah, he's kind of, you know, I think, you know, it's like they go, AJ, we know you're coming to the end of your career. Can you get this almost guy over? You know, can you get him over? Cause I mean, we need, you know, and it's like, and AJ's like, yeah, what the hell, you know, and they're still paying me. I'm going to be here for a few more years, you know. Someday he'll come out and do interviews when he's gone and everything and just talk about, you know, the hell the time he was in. Because I guess he when Heyman was booking Raw, AJ, he had promised AJ like the world, and then fired his best friends, you know. And you know, of course, you know, they Anderson and they showed up on Impact. But nevertheless, he did not get along well with the guy who was running the division. So that's where his downfall started, I think. But, I'm sure he'll have some great things to say. And so then we got Bill Goldberg, which nobody cares to see, Russell. And he's taking on Bobby Lashley. And it's like, It's like,
at least he's in the one country where he can legally kill a guy and no one will care.
Yeah, you know, I mean, getting him out of the arena might be hard, but you know, but yeah, that, and that's all based on, I think,
and that match, if I watch that match, which I'm not going to, it'll make me for a few minutes miss watching American Top Team.
Well, you know, you make a point there. What do you guys think in the message they're watching right now online? You can leave us a message. I'll definitely. I would
rather scrub a bathroom floor with a toothbrush than watch a Bill Goldberg match in 2021.
I will tell you one good thing about a match is they're short. You know what? That's one thing. You're not going to get a long match out of Bill Goldberg. So if you're hoping it's going to be done soon, it will be. So
I hope his career's done soon.
Well, yeah, I hope it's not like angling to bring his kid into the business, okay? Because then that would just be like the same story told over and over in the history of the world of wrestling, you know. So now beyond that, we get a Hell in a Cell match. So they're gonna have Hell in a Cell. And we talked last week. I said it's like, isn't it interesting how they're gonna have to move that whole thing to Saudi Arabia? I bet you that costs a lot of money. It takes a lot of 18-wheelers, you know, and probably a big boat too, you know, to get it to Saudi Arabia.
I wonder if they just had another one built over there, to be honest.
They might, you know, there's money.
With how shipping is, it's probably cheaper just to have another one built over there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they'll leave it behind. So then we'll have a Hell in the Cell.
Force some journalists to build it for them, whatever. Yeah.
then we'll have a Hell in the Cell every year during the Crown Jewel now because they built one once. It'll be over there. So we get Seth Rollins and Edge, and I thought that ended at WrestleMania, to be honest with you. And it's like, I you know, they tried to do the home invasion thing with Rollins. I don't know. Yeah.
It's two fantastic wrestlers, and I could not care less about their storyline or feud or whatever.
Yeah.
That's WWE in a nutshell for me right now. I love watching those two guys wrestle and have for decades, and I don't care.
Yeah, home invasions.
Like, it's and rematch wrestling entertainment. Like, I just don't. I wish I cared. That's one I truly wish that I was excited to watch. But
Matt says, let's hope Goldberg doesn't concuss himself again before the match. Yeah, that'd be that for that match, definitely. You know,
let's hope not. But I'd rather you do that than to somebody else.
True, concuss yourself, Goldberg. But you know, yeah, the Hell in
No. I'm not advocating that as somebody who's had a few concussions in my life too. Like, I hope nobody has them. But if one has to be given by him, then I mean, if he's dumb enough to slam his head into a steel door again or something, then I don't know. That's on him.
Seth wore two pairs of pajamas last night. He had like a, it was like a, yeah, I saw that, what he had on. It was like a suit coat that was like, you know, like cards. But yeah, in fact, Rob, you have a video of your concussion someplace of getting the cake in the head.
No. Well, that, okay. So that was Pier 6 in 2014 when we were taping 4 or 5 episodes in one day. I think it was 4 for that one.
I got to play Franklin in the back there, you know, and interview the guys.
Episode 2, I had a brand new suit on. Really nice, like navy suit, light blue pinstripes, everything. That's when I got a pie in the face, and it ruined that suit. Like, brought it to the dry cleaners twice here. There was no saving it. But then an hour later after, like, I went up to the locker room, like, tried to kind of shower off in the like big kitchen sink and stuff, changed. We got to the next episode, and then I was managing for a 6-man tag, and that's when Sean Carr flipped over the ropes, and then one of the guys on my team went to catch him, accidentally elbowed me right in the temple. So I went from pie in the face in like episode 2 to then concussion in episode 4, all within about an hour.
Yeah,
I was gonna say. At least, I mean, that was a worse day than having to watch like a Bill Goldberg match for me.
Rennie just said, it's a good time to go to the kitchen and get some snacks, because it'll, like I said, it only lasts a few minutes. So, you know, microwave like, you know, a Hot Pocket or something, you know, for that match. But yeah, so you do have it on, you know, the footage on video of you getting smacked in the head. I've seen it a few times, I remember I was watching from up in the balcony, so it's like, oh, I wonder what happened, because it's like, I thought maybe it got
hit. I honestly it makes me understand a little bit more with like how other people do it in wrestling, I guess, because like I said, like I had a couple like concussions before that, in my life, but none were nearly as bad as that. But that was like right at the beginning of the match. And like, I went down and then somebody like woke me up. And then I popped up and I remembered everything I had to do the rest of the match. I mean, wrestling's real. I remembered everything like I had to do the rest of the match. And then it wasn't until like, I think that was the last match of the show. I went back to the locker room and then I sat down. When I sat down, that's when it hit me. And I was like, oh, this is not good. But it was like that adrenaline in the moment that kind of kept you going. That kind of made me understand a little bit like how some of these guys fight through injuries, like to finish a match or something like that.
Oh, you mean like Mick Foley, Hell in the Cell, maybe, you know, it's like after
a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
What like he Triple H, I mean, a lot of them have done that kind of thing, but yeah, Triple once H, you sit down, it just hits quad. You.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Danger Boy, you got hit in the head a few times, I'm sure, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Rob,
you just don't remember what he's talking about because he's had concussions. Yes.
Well, Rob got his other ones from hockey, so you guys are correct, I'm guessing, for those who said
hockey and snowboarding and wrestling.
Ooh,
from hockey. I don't remember.
I remember when you got it. I thought you got it when the pie went in your face because you actually went down.
A lot of people thought that, and a lot of people still that know that that's not the case will still make that joke to this day. it was not the pie.
It was funny though, but folks.
That's
be there.
A better clip to watch. At least like, that's more entertaining to see me just get crushed with a pie than to see me get an elbow to the face that's so quick you can't even really see it. So that sucked.
Okay, so then hold on. Now we're back.
That was quite a little sidetrack there.
Certainly, yes. Yeah. So we just talked about the Hell in the Cell. Then we have Queen's Crown tournament final and the Kings of the Ring tournament final. Zelina Vega, we know, will be in the Queens versus either Doudrop or Shayna Baszler. Then we got Finn Balor taking on either Jinder Mahal or Xavier Woods. We'll see, you know, there was a possibility last Monday that there could have been a New Day for the King of the Ring on Monday, but Xavier Woods was the only one to win his match, but that would have been interesting if you had Kofi versus Xavier in the finals Monday night. I think that would have drew more people to watch it too, just to think of how they would have, you know, instead of, you know,
I haven't seen a second of the King of the Ring matches themselves. Just going to admit that, whatever. When I saw the bracket at first, I had to think that even though they won't split up forever or whatever, like I had to immediately think like Woods is winning this, and then that's going to put him in line to have a match with Big E, whether it's a friendly thing or something. I would still like looking from who's left in the tournament, like I would be surprised if he doesn't win it, but I think he deserves it. I mean, it's got to suck right now in a lot of ways to your two other guys have both Ben or our world champions, and then you're just like, hey, I'm here too.
Yeah, hey, right, that's so. What I'm thinking. Maybe he'll get the King.
I hope he wins it.
I think he'll get, you know, it's good reason for giving him the King of the Ring, and then but you're going up against Finn Balor too, and the two guys about the same size too. So I think that they're gonna, you know, and it's not saying that Xavier Woods is going to make it. He's got to beat Jinder Mahal, but I think it would be a much better match between Woods and Balor than Jinder Mahal and Balor. That's for sure. Because I think Baylor's another guy who's been like Jinder Mahal's been a guy who's been forced down our throats in the last month on Monday Night Raw, interfering with, you know, Drew McIntyre and whatnot. But we'll find out Monday what the finals of that be. And then we got Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali, and that might be the main event in Saudi Arabia. It's at the bottom of the card, what I'm looking at right now. I'm sure they'll have some sort of battle royale where they'll do it before they ever go live. And we'll, you know, cause we want to see Titus O'Neil, you know, the replays that we've seen a million times of him flying underneath the ring. And that's what's going to go on this Thursday. So if you don't have a job, which I think WWE is banking, you don't have a job, but you got the Peacock network, then you can sit home and watch it, or you can do like what I do at my job and just call up the network on my phone and watch it while I'm supposed to be doing work.
That's one of the reasons I've always appreciated stuff like this, is because you can watch it midday on a weekday. Like I like that aspect of it. I know that we're not in the same exact pandemic status as we've been in the last 18 months. I guess my only question is like, I'm almost surprised. That's not really a question, but I'm almost surprised that they were able, even with all the blood money flowing all over the place, falling from trees, like, I'm kind of surprised they were able to get this many big stars to say, yeah, I'll go to Saudi Arabia. Like, with everything, with how little international travel and stuff people have done. Now, granted, you're getting on, like, a potentially getting on a WWE-only plane to travel and all that stuff. But, I mean, when they haven't gone and wrestled in the UK or anywhere else or whatever, but, like, and there's been so many people in the past that are like, no, I'm not going to Saudi Arabia, or no, I'm not doing tribute for the troops, whatever. Like, they've been able to line up, like, a pretty good card for this pay-per-view. I guess I'm just kind of surprised at that, because I figured that a few of these people would have been like, no.
Daniel Bryan was one of the guys who nixed it last time, and he's not there anymore.
And there are a lot of people that were on that whole situation where they're standing on the tarmac waiting and stuff that are still in that company.
Yeah.
That I'm sure after that experience are like, no, I don't want to go back there and potentially deal with that again.
True. I mean, you know, and the funny thing about that is, yeah, they had probably to promise them something like, okay, you're all coming on the corporate jet or something, or, you know, or the WWE jet. So,
oh, they got to do something, because they got to make it back for SmackDown on Friday, too.
It's interesting. So Brian Longo, buddy here, would the WWE have to quarantine when they come back to the U.S., or are they all vaccinated? I don't know if that – I'm guessing they're all vaccinated. It's not a big selling point in the media at all about that, you know, them being vaccinated or whatnot. But I'm guessing most of them are, you know, just because it's easier than to have to sit home for 14 days every time there's someone who tests positive in the company. So, and they've been really good lately at not having anybody test positive. So I'm guessing maybe they're all vaccinated. I don't know. But that's a good question.
You know? I don't know with a couple of them that are on that show, but I don't know. I mean, we're also at a point now where a lot of those regulations have become a little bit more relaxed or are about to change. Like, things are going to change again here soon with, like, the Canadian and the Mexican borders and stuff too. So, and the big companies and leagues and stuff are getting a lot more clearance to be able to do things that they're kind of managing or bubbling on their own, you know, whatever. Like, obviously we're at a point now where Canadian NHL teams can come play in the US and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we don't have to have the all Canadian.
That wasn't a thing at some point. Yeah. I'm surprised that we lived through an era that couldn't be a thing, but it's been a weird couple of years. Yeah,
all the Canadian teams play all the Canadian teams, and all the American teams play all the American teams. And that was kind of very odd. I mean, that's why we had the Blue Jays in Buffalo for as long as we have, because they couldn't. But yeah, in November.
That's why there was no Calder Cup. There were no playoffs in the American Hockey League, because you couldn't get the Canadian teams to play the American teams. So it was just like, all right, well, we're going to have a regular season.
Yeah. So I think
and that'll be that.
And it's just everything so much different from a year ago. And yeah, there was it November 4th, I think, is when they're opening the allow Canadians to come across, which I believe Americans could have gone across for a while now, but I think
it's becoming more relaxed, but you can currently, if you get the test within 72 hours. And
it's funny, you can be vaccinated, but you still need the test, though. I saw that. There was like the two things you have to show when you're going across. So one thing I want to mention before we stop talking about WWE is there was a story out this past week about WWE is having an aging out problem with a lot of their superstars. And I posted something about it in our news about how they're WWE, that's why NXT changed to be the way it is now, trying to inject a lot of youth into the company. But WWE has 22 main roster superstars who are 40 or over. And that's what they think is, you know, there's not enough star power that's young in the company. And I'm not going to go read all these ages, but R-Truth looks like to be the oldest at 49. Oh, he's in Bill Goldberg's 54, but I don't know if he's really a superstar. He just shows up once in a while. But there's a lot of aging out in WWE, and it's like that really is a story behind why NXT became 2.0, and all of a sudden you're seeing all these guys on 2.0 that they're just suddenly appearing, you know, and their characters are appearing. So you guys think about that.
The only 2.0 that matters are in AEW.
Yeah.
I don't think I think that was a talking point more a couple decades ago than it is now. I mean, when you look at AJ Styles, one of the best wrestlers in the world, over 40, a guy like Brody Lee was hitting his peak around 40. A lot of other WWE superstars are in their 40s. Kenny Omega is 37, 38.
Like 38 today. Soon. Today's his birthday.
And is arguably the best wrestler in the world. So he'll be there soon. Like, I don't really think, I don't understand this whole, like, well, we're not going to sign anybody over 30 thing. Like, how many wrestlers are at their potential on the indies or whatever by 30 to sign them before that? There's plenty to do it, but like, that shouldn't be a make or break type of thing.
No, well, that's just the thing nowadays is back in the day when, you know, the territories and stuff like that, you would get the chance to travel around different places, learn your craft. You'd wrestle 7 nights a week and it'd be a completely different thing. Now they go to, you know, the schools, you get a month and a half of training. You're doing an indie show once, twice a weekend for a while. It's the age thing isn't as important. And medical is completely different now. Look at Tom Brady in the NFL. As much as I hate him, the guy is 44 years old and having a hell of a year. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But you have
Bobby. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, and he's still really good at it. But
Bobby Lashley is 45 years old. He doesn't look it.
Right. He's
hitting his peak in wrestling.
R-Truth doesn't look whatever you just said. I mean,
49.
I
mean,
49.
Yeah. He's got the charisma of a 25-year-old. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal these days compared to.
I think it's overblown.
Like, yeah. Okay, well, but I think WWE is worrying Edge is a little.
In one of the best shapes of his career now, 40s. Like a lot of these guys, Christian looks just as good as ever.
Yeah,
like.
But But I think that people are worrying that they're not creating anybody to take their space after they can't wrestle anymore, too. That there's going to be a big drop off someday when all these guys are like too old to do this, or, you know, because of, and listen, age, you do get hurt differently when you're older. And I mean, things take longer to heal and stuff like that. So they're worried that there's nobody coming up underneath that's going to be able to take the spots of these people.
Well, that's their own doing. You can't force someone into that spot. You have to let it happen organically. And
yeah, but then this is WWE. Nothing happens organically anymore.
I'm well aware.
Yeah.
But like they have, I'm sorry. I know a lot of people don't like the 2.0 NXT at all. Bron Breakker should be a Steiner and they should let him do his thing. He is fantastic and he's going to be a superstar, but they're going to force him down everybody's throat and make him say scripted promos and not be himself. And it's going to suck. I'm waiting for them to ruin it, but I can enjoy him now. And I think he's going to be a monster. He's going to be great, but it's their own doing. They've had many, many people come through NXT who are great wrestlers that they have done nothing with.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know,
the one other point that you kind of hit on there, that's a little unrelated, but I just wanted to touch on that. Like, it is so different now that like you said, people used to wrestle maybe even more than 7 times a week, things like that, or they're taking bookings 2 or 3 days every weekend, on top of stuff. That's the weird part now with AEW having so many people under contract and they're only doing usually one show per week. And yeah, obviously they throw in, you know, the random dark tapings at Universal once in a while and things like that, but it's not exactly that. Like, it might change again once things are more back to normal, but a lot of these people who are not getting a match every week at AEW, which would be their one match of the week, they're actually not like being allowed to wrestle matches on the indies as much as they were when AEW started. There's a lot less of that going on now. And I think that was a big deal. Like, WWE people don't need that because they're wrestling multiple times a week when they're on tour and all that kind of stuff. But if you're a guy in AEW that's under contract and you're sitting in catering and you're not used for weeks and you're maybe not allowed to take matches on the indies and stuff, like, are you getting that ring time to get better? I mean, obviously you're preserving your body a little bit better to be able to wrestle for longer because you're not hurting it and taking bumps every night. But I don't know if that's enough time to be in the ring to actually continually improve. Like,
you know, it's funny,
used to over the decades.
It's funny as getting inside to some of these arenas during the day while they're setting up for the shows and stuff. One thing I've always remarked at is lot of people, the ring would be the first thing set up, and then people would come out and work on things in the ring. And I remember coming in more than a few times when WCW was in town, and they would work matches out too, but then people would also work too. They would bring in people to and see how that, and have them work, angles and stuff in the ring. And that's the only time these guys ever had to actually get some work in the ring except for when they were on TV doing it. So it's like,
and there's even less of that now because you've got, it's changed a little bit in the last month or two, but like on an AEW side of things, you've got a lot of local or local-ish extras coming in. And so they're taking some of that ring time in the afternoon, whether it's a tryout thing or whatever. You'll get your time where Dustin will go out there and work with some of the women and things like that. But there's not necessarily that same big amount of ring time for people to get. So unless they've got a ring to work out at when they're home on the weekends or something, they might not really have that much time to be improving and stuff, because like an AEW type of thing, they were going right into taping 8,000 matches on Dark and then Dynamite and then maybe Rampage and Elevation, all this stuff that there wasn't. It's almost like you need to have, which you can't do in most venues, but you almost need to find a way to do what WWE does for like their bigger pay-per-views and get an extra ring in the back for people to work out stuff and practice moves, learn things, whatever and stuff. Cause I think ring time is very limited for some of these people. And if you're not getting those reps on TV on a bi-weekly basis or something, then are you going to get better?
Yeah. I remember seeing Fit Finley working with the women's division, practicing for matches and stuff and learning. And when I was at a WWE show where they allowed me to go in and see that stuff, but he had like eight women in the ring, and he was showing them stuff. And it was really pretty cool. It's a neat thing to see, but that's the only time they get, and that's why, like, when they get called up from NXT, they're still working NXT too, because they're getting ring time in NXT. And obviously you go to the training center and there's like, what, eight rings in there, and they're continuously working on stuff there. But I'm going to move a little bit forward. You got just one more thing I really want to talk to, but before we get to the one thing I want to talk to, I do want to shout out to Amanda Huber. Congratulations. Amanda Huber is All Elite. Has a job with AEW, which is really cool, and it just came out yesterday. They made the announcement that, let's see if I can find where it is. I got it in my news here someplace, but Amanda Huber, the widow of John Huber, is now took to Twitter and announced that she's officially working with the company now. She'll be working on AEW's community outreach team. So kudos to Amanda, who was here. We got a lot of Amanda a couple weeks ago. We haven't seen much since then, but I think it was really cool that they're still very supportive of John Huber's family and John Huber, and he's made such an impact in such a short time with that company. So kudos. What do you think about that?
I think it's awesome. It's really cool to see. I know we've talked in recent weeks, Amanda has been around the wrestling scene just as long as John was.
And she came on this show the week that John debuted in WWE, and she came on and talked about it with us on the air. And it's like, I remember that because she's like, I'll come on and we'll talk, because I was there. And it's like, okay, let's talk about it. And it's like, this is before it was even televised stuff. So she came on and talked about Luke Harper and everything. And she definitely is a friend of the show. Maybe someday we'll get her on her again. I'd love to definitely talk to her for a while. She's, very well spoken, very mature. So, but yeah, she's
a really good person. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I love that people have gotten to see more of her in the last year or so, and she's kind of become a lot more popular on social media that people are showing interest. I know, she was saying that this was really important because it's a way that obviously everybody wants to continue to honor John and everything. And it's been great to see what AEW has done for the kids and all that stuff, but it's an opportunity for Amanda to also do her own thing. And I think the way that she kind of worded it was like, it's very important, obviously, like with everything with John and stuff, it's not devaluing any of the honor of, being married to him and the family they created and all that stuff. But she also kind of gets to step away from being like just his widow or something. Like, she gets to make her own mark with this stuff. And I just think it's, she's a good person for this type of role with the community outreach stuff. Really happy for her. And that's one of those moments where, like, I saw the graphic and I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's just one of those things that, she's not wrestling in AEW, but to see another person from Rochester get signed by AEW, whether it's on camera, off camera, whatever. Obviously Brody was in that, and we've seen it with other people. We saw it, I mean, with Chris Harrington backstage and the huge role that he has with the company. Like, there's a lot of Rochester connections to this company. And I just think that this is it's really cool to see her make it to AEW, and her oldest son will probably be a big part of it in years to come as well too.
Yeah.
Or a bigger part, I should say.
Danger, what do you think?
I think it's awesome. Yeah. I think it's great that she gets to do her own thing. And I think it's awesome that AEW has a community outreach section. There's no obligation to do that. There's no obligation to step out and help communities. I mean, I know when they were in here, when they were here in Rochester, they did stuff at Lollipop Farm and volunteered over there. So it's great to see the company doing that and stretching out into ways that they don't necessarily have to, but they want to.
Yeah, and kudos to Amanda. Maybe we'll get her on one of these mornings. I'll send a feeler out and see if she would like just come on, hang on, because she likes wrestling too. You know, I mean, she does. She was a wrestler herself, but she's also a big fan of everything. So, and I'm sure she's got some great tales to tell. You know, hanging out, you know, with little Broads and everything. You know. Very cool. Congratulations, Amanda. You know, and if you see her, man, you know, say hey. Great job. So the last thing I want to talk about on today's show, and I mean, unless you guys who are in the message room have a message and want us to talk about anything in particular, I want to talk about this thing I just saw this morning, and it came out a couple days ago. They're doing like a story with, I think it's Variety Magazine was doing a story with Tony Khan from the, and he was in the Jaguars booth or the owner's booth for the Jaguars game. And he had the entire, All Elite pay-per-view, next pay-per-view, or no, is it the next pay-per-view?
The full gear card.
Full gear card. Yeah. He had the whole full gear card on the page in front of him. And they showed it clear as day, exactly. And to be honest with you, I'm looking at this card, and that's a great, I think some of these matches are so intriguing. I would love to see a lot of these. You know, I did post them for you guys. But, man, it's like, if that's the case, man, I'm all for this next this pay-per-view. That's for sure. But what do you think? You think that's legit, or you think he's like, you know, playing a little game with us, the fans?
It's absolutely legitimate.
Is it really?
Because the way that when he was on Busted Open yesterday, and at the end of the interview, they were already wrapping up, and he basically brought it up, and the way he was talking about it, like, was the confirmation basically that, like, you know, like, those were my notes, but you never, like, first draft, I mean, things could change. Like, he probably feels obligated to change some of it now. My thing is, like, it's not a huge, we're only a few weeks out from that pay-per-view, or a month out, whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of the matches that were listed there, we could have predicted.
Oh, we know Hangman's in the main event.
You know? The part that I really don't like, like, I'm somebody who doesn't like to have, like, anybody have a chance of seeing, like, my notes, whatever, like, on anything like that. Like, it's just not, I don't know how he makes that mistake to walk on a sideline where there's cameras everywhere with those notes facing outward. But, like, having stuff, like, circled on there and stuff, like, I don't, like, we all can make assumptions pretty easily on things that will happen in these matches and stuff like that. But it goes back to, like, I don't want to know anything about Rampage when it's taped. I don't want to know anything about Full Gear. And now I there were things that obviously I thoroughly assumed that now I feel like I know already, and it kills some of my intrigue for the pay-per-view. So I think that was not a good thing. That was a big mistake by Tony, and I'm interested to see what he maybe shifts just because of that mistake.
And you know, the funny thing is, there's some obvious things that they're working on now that we're going to show up anyways, like MJF and Darby Allin. That stuff was kind of starting. Inner Circle top team, you know. But the ones I found intriguing.
Hopefully that's the one he changes.
Yeah, well,
he's like, oh, man, people saw that match is going to happen. American top team, you got to go.
No, I think that obviously is where that's going. We saw that from last night. But the Moxley Danielson, now, I'd love to see that. That's something that was like, wow, that would be great. You know, it's like, and they wrestled, I think, in WWE when they were parts of their factions, you know. The Shield versus, wait a second. Was he, I was going to say almost that he was part of Bray Wyatt's family, Daniel Bryan. That's when
he was for like a night or something.
Yeah. When he wore the garbage man outfit. Yes. Yeah. You know, but that
Daniel the dumpster Bryan or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. But we also, CM Punk and Wardlow. I don't know how we get to there from where we are now, but, you know, yeah, there's some good setups, you know. I mean,
Britt Baker versus nobody.
Yeah, Britt Baker. And that's an unfortunate one. And that's another reason why I was bringing up the women's division earlier, too, is because.
Was Thunder listed on that? I don't.
I don't Thunder Rosa and Jade Cargill.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably the TBS finals right there.
And that's what we're working towards starting tonight.
I don't think they're going to get to the finals by that point because they're just going to unveil the bracket. I hope they do that tournament slowly and don't actually crown a champion until they're on TBS. I mean, that's what I would like to see with it. But I mean, the card looks good. It's just, I don't know. It's too much of a spoiler type thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention anymore because it's like I don't want to ruin it for the people who are listening or following, but you can find this information. Just go out and do some searching. I think it was Variety magazine? I'm trying to remember. Forbes. I'm sorry, it was Forbes, of course, because it's the rich guy, you know? It's the rich guy magazine.
So. I just don't understand. So Tony did the whole thing. Like, I really like almost everything Tony has done. And I have said, like, I think his company has already become like my favorite, like big time wrestling promotion ever. Honestly, I didn't love the whole, like, we're going to beat SmackDown this week. And I didn't love the fact that he's like, hey, in case you don't already know, let me bring up this giant mistake that I made.
Oh, when he
like,
got
so
hurt?
Now you go out and search it. Like,
yeah,
no, like, don't bring it up. Like, if they ask you about it, then respond, but you don't need to, like, there's probably some people that had no idea about that. They were listening like, oh, now I got to look up that picture, and like, don't draw attention to it.
No. Well, what about him coming out? I mean,
weird business decisions.
How about him coming out and saying that he broke his rib when the last time Junior Dos Santos was on TV with him? You know, they were using that as an angle to get people to watch the show last night. I think using the news that Tony broke a rib. He cracked a rib, a couple of them, when the last, remember the Junior Dos Santos kind of mosh they had at one point that he was in the middle of. So
Wonder, I don't know when the Jericho Cruise leaves or anything, but do you think that Tony, after he finally gets out of the arena in Miami tonight after Dynamite, is getting on a plane to go to London for the Jags game in the morning?
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised in the least.
I think if anybody would do it, it would be him.
And he can
he
can catch his favorite Premier team while he's over there too, because he's a huge soccer fan too.
A Premier soccer game as opposed to his football team in the NFL that's not very Premier right now.
Haven't won a game this year.
Woof.
Yeah, so we won't beat up Tony too bad.
Hopefully they win tomorrow, though.
Yeah. A couple.
Home of the Jags, London, England.
It's only, what, 9? Yes. It'll be 9:30 tomorrow morning? Is that what you're saying, football starts?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize they had back-to-back games. I thought they did it like every
couple. They get such great games in London.
Oh, you'll get the Jets last week. That woohoo!
The Jets and the Falcons last week, and the Jags and Dolphins this week.
Yeah, and after my Washington team beat the Atlanta, it's like I think that, you know, I didn't have much hope for that Jets Atlanta game, but a couple little pieces.
Your football team's causing some issues this year.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, we got rid of Gruden because of them, you know, in the long run. But so a couple things I want to mention as we're getting out of here tonight. AEW. If you want to know what's going to be on the show tonight, they put out a preview. We're going to get the Lucha Brothers versus Two Masked Men with Andrade for the AAA Tag Team Championship, with another belt
being Los Conquistadors.
Is it? Yeah, another belt being defended from another company on AEW's Dynamite. We got Dante Martin versus Malakai Black after what happened last week, which they set up.
But Lucha Brothers are the AEW Tag Team Champions, right?
Yeah.
So shouldn't they like kind of be acknowledging that in the match graphics or whatever? Well, even if those titles aren't on the line, like,
yeah. Well, it's kind of like when Christian beat Kenny Omega for the Impact Wrestling title, sort of, you know. I mean, it's like they didn't want to talk, you know, it wasn't like both titles would be online, just one of them. So, yeah, so I also have a Bryan Danielson versus Bobby Fish. Now, we saw Bobby Fish, what, last week? I don't know.
Last night he wrestled Lee Moriarty on the buy-in.
Yeah, and Bobby.
Which was good.
Bobby Fish.
I'm looking forward to that match tonight. I don't know. It's two nights in a row for both of those guys that I kind of wish other people were getting that spot, but it's okay.
Yeah, Kira Hogan versus Penelope Ford. Penelope Ford and her knucks. Brass knucks, whenever they show up, eventually they will, I'm guessing, during the match. John Moxley versus Wheeler Yuta, and we have the AEW Full Gear brackets to be announced tonight. So if you're watching AEW tonight, that's what you got to look forward to. Kudos to
a decent card. I mean, like, I like most of the stuff you just mentioned. I just don't know if that's a huge, like, draw for a non-traditional Saturday night to get people to tune in. I don't know if this is really the show, like the card that's going to draw a ton of people in.
Well, I mean, if you're a wrestling fan and you're sick of college football, it may be, or baseball playoffs, kudos to Minoru Suzuki. He's going to be making his Impact Wrestling debut right after Bound for Glory. And by the way, next Saturday, a week from Saturday, is it Saturday? Bound for Glory? Yeah, it's Saturday, October 23rd. So 1 week from today, we are going to have Bound for Glory, and we're going to get Christian defending the title in the main event. Christian, who works for AEW, also happens to be the Impact champion.
Wait to see him and Josh Alexander.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a good match.
That's gonna be. I mean, I can't believe that's only a week away now that we're already in mid October. But yeah, I mean, there's a good amount of like AEW this weekend and stuff. But that's gonna be quite the Saturday night next weekend with Saturday Night Dynamite followed by Bound for Glory.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. We got to get together, man.
I need, like, next Saturday needs to be like pain clinic, nap, coffee, Dynamite, Bound for Glory.
Yeah. I think we ought to get
planning
together
for it now.
We ought to get it together and watch it. You know, it's like, cause I think it'd be, you know, it'd be like six straight hours, but it'll be two companies, not WWE, you know, like WrestleMania or anything. So yeah, no, I think that's going to be, you know, and Suzuki, supposedly everyone was assuming he was going to show up at Bound for Glory. He's supposed to show up the next night for the TV taping. So we'll see that. But see, you know,
the Iconics automatically challenging for the Knockouts tag titles.
Yeah,
which
happened very quickly.
I'm very happy they're there. I can't wait to see him. I've missed them. I don't like them going into a title match on their first night. I never like that. And pretty, I don't know, they almost have to win in that circumstance. Not that they're necessarily like, it's not a, there's ways to get around that, but I don't like that booking. But
no, they're a real,
still looking forward to seeing them.
They're a real women's tag team, you know. I mean, not every tag team in the women's division are real. I mean, they're individuals put together, but these ladies were a tag team, you know. I mean, for a good long time before they ever came to this company. So
I don't know if I mentioned this. I know when you were asking me about some of the like 2CW booking and stuff a couple weeks ago, did I mention the Iconics thing?
No. Well, you said you couldn't because of like one day or something. There was like a day at midnight. She could have come on.
Yeah, we can. Yeah. So then I mean, it's fine to talk about it now. Like I tried to get them booked for 2CW in Syracuse, which would have been awesome. Their agent said that they technically could not appear until, like, that show was Friday, October 1st. They couldn't appear until October 2nd. And so there was about a day or so where we're like, well, I mean, the show is not really going to start till 8. And like, do we have them come out at midnight? But it would have been too late of a night. So yeah, that did not happen, but that was something that was looked into. So now they can finally actually, but they also like didn't really want to wrestle before like wrestling at Impact and stuff.
Did you know that they were going to Impact after that? Did they let you know that?
I don't think that was confirmed. I think it was like a general assumption or whatever, that like knew that they were going to, they were hesitant about wrestling a match anywhere before appearing for a big company in a match. And gotcha. I totally understand that.
Oh, sure.
And in that circumstance, like that was part of the reason where it's like, all right, if we don't know if they're going to actually wrestle a match, is it really worth it for them to show up at midnight and we stretch things out? I don't remember when the show actually ended, but it wasn't that late. So that did not happen, but hopefully they'll make their way around here some other time soon.
Maybe
so.
You could book another 2CW show.
Who knows? I have no idea.
On that note, we're going to get out of here, but I do want you to mention your experience from ESW before we get out of here next week. ESW last week, that was in Riverworks in Buffalo. You got to be a switcher in the control room, which is pretty cool. I've done that before and on a very much smaller scale than what you were dealing with.
Yeah, I haven't ran a video switcher live since probably college, I would think. So it was fun. I mean, it's weird because ESW, like over the years, like I really have done almost everything there now at this point, including that I didn't expect. But that was their IWTV live debut Sunday afternoon. Really good show. Daniel Garcia successfully defended his title against Davey Richards in the main event. A lot of good stuff on that show. And I love the Riverworks venue. We always talk about that.
Yeah.
Their next show is at the Fire Hall in Niagara Falls next month, but I know they'll be doing more stuff with Riverworks in the future. And it's just really cool stuff. So yeah, that was fun. That was, I guess I'm used to like my roles on, I mean, I shouldn't say this from a play-by-play aspect, you're pretty much busy the whole time, but like running a video switcher is literally like, you can't look away for a millisecond. You know, you're constantly watching, I had four different camera angles and then everything else
through. And are you in control? Are you like in a headset connected with those guys and you like give them ideas like which change the angle or something?
We had a headset. And so like we were like, there's a backstage area behind the concrete, like on the stage,
yep.
Right next to the curtain.
I've gotten dressed
kinda
before.
Like, kind of gorilla.
I've got dressed before back there for roller derby. So that's where we changed into our roller derby stuff. Also, that's where Ring of Honor, the guys would come out too, on that little stage in the back there.
Yeah. And so, I mean, we like everybody was on headsets and communicating. And there were certain times where like I would tell like the one ringside cameraman, like, stay on that shot. You're my only shot of something, whatever and stuff. Yeah. So a technical director type thing, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
It's exciting.
I've never done that for wrestling before live. And that was a lot more challenging than when I've done it before for like college news thing or something, because you're really having to think like, all right, they're setting up this move. I'm going to need to go to the camera on this side to get this shot. They're going to be going for a pinfall, but I want to make sure that you see the front, not the back. Whichever way they're going, like there's so much that goes into it. So I know like earlier on the show, I was criticizing AEW for missing a shot earlier. I also want to say like, I understand when they miss stuff because it is very difficult from a pro wrestling aspect, especially on the indies where some people are really good at working to the hard camera and stuff and some are not.
Sure.
It was a good experience. That show is on IWTV on the archives. I do want to plug that Tuesday night, the other 2CW reunion show, which was September 30th in Binghamton, the first night, we are premiering that this Tuesday night, 8 o'clock on YouTube, youtube.com/2CW or just 2CWlive.com will get you there on Tuesday. That card's absolutely loaded with Dark Order against To Infinity and Beyond, Deonna Purrazzo against Mercedes Martinez,
Dalton Castle,
Josh Alexander versus Moose versus Dalton Castle versus Eddie Edwards, and a ton more stuff on there. Rich Swann, all sorts of people. So that's for free Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, the 2CW YouTube page. Check that out. We recorded that live to tape that night. So looking forward to watching that back, and it'll be fun to kind of get to just relax and watch it as opposed to just doing it live and whatever. So
cool.
Join in on the YouTube chat, whatever, like that'll be right after dark basically. And I guess going head to head with NXT Colorful 2.0.
Yeah. A little splash. Well, we're going to wrap this up, guys. I mean, I'm glad you got that in there. We're going to get out of here. We got wrestling. It's only about 7 hours from now, a little bit, or 6 hours from now. No, it's not even noon yet.
We got the Sabres in like, what, less than 2 hours now.
Let's see if they can pull another 5-1 win while, you know, we'll see.
Too bad nobody was there to see it the other night.
Tis a shame. But now that they can come across starting soon, you know that at least when they have the Montreal, when they have the Toronto Maple Leaf games, at least all the Maple Leaf fans will be able to see a game. Come over.
The fact that we're at the point, though, where you had 5 people in the stands for a home opener.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Especially after not being able to be in the building for so long.
I went to that game where there was like 200 of us in the entire place. And it was just so weird feeling, you know, that, you know, they're doing a game for us. I mean, for TV as well. But if it was just for us in the stands. So it was never got too loud because there was only so many people in there. But danger is nice.
The players, they played really well. But if the fan base is ever try to send a message to ownership, I think that's what we got.
Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah. Well, with the issues, the off-season issues they've had, certainly. Danger is nice seeing you. We haven't seen you in a while. And we got to start making plans this week for Bound for Glory next week. I think we should get together for that because we get a two-hour show before Bound for Glory starts. We get to AEW. So
I kind of wish we had an hour between the shows. Maybe that would be the good nap time.
Cool. Well, on that note, we're going to get out of here. Thank you so much for everyone following and who stayed with us the whole time. And we'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, 10 a.m. here on Facebook Live. I'm going to figure out how to do this on other platforms so you're not trapped only by Facebook, because I know there's so many anti-Facebook people out there. They're like, yeah, Facebook's for older people. We kids do things on Snapchat and other things. And it's like, well, we couldn't do this on Snapchat. It lasts 30 seconds.
I remember when the Facebook started when I was a freshman in college, and you could only get on it when you were a college student.
Oh, my God.
So
goodness.
It certainly wasn't for old people then.
Certainly not. So, but we're going to call it a day. Thank you so much for everyone watching. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Danger Boy. Furby.
Thank you, Garlic Bread.
Oh, thank you, Garlic Bread. We'll see you next week, folks.